Good morning. It's been a busy week, hasn't it? Anybody else had a busy week? Well, it's over. It's Sabbath. And all the stress of maybe the bill that's sitting on the counter, or the deadline that might be coming up at work, or any of the stress that you might be feeling, except maybe preaching a sermon, you can just put aside and thankful for the Sabbath. My sermon title is called History. Pastor Dan has asked me to give a testimony, my testimony, and so I entitled it History, because yes, it's my history, but it's also his story. His story. And there's basically two kinds of testimonies that we'll get into, and we've had prayer, and I believe that we've invoked the Holy Spirit to be with us. At the same time, I want to just bow our heads and just enter into this sacred worship time. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you give me words to speak, for they are your words. This testimony that I'm about ready to speak is sometimes difficult, sometimes the most difficult sermon that you can give, but we also know that that's something that no one can take away from us. They can debate us and debate us on doctrines, but our personal experience is ours. And we're grateful for that. So I just pray that you turn my nervousness into energy for you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's two kinds of testimonies. There's your initial testimony, the time that you came to the Lord, that you had that pivotal moment in your life, that you finally just were able to give it all. And then there's our daily testimony, correct? Our everyday testimony. Who we are in Christ. So I want to talk about two of those and then kind of make it more practical. How do we live a Christian life? I wasn't raised an Adventist. I was raised a Baptist. Is there anybody here this morning that wasn't raised an Adventist? There's a couple of us, yeah. So I'd imagine that most of us are raised Adventists. But I personally was not raised an Adventist. I was raised a Baptist. And we moved to Florida from South Carolina, where I was born, about the age of 6. And we moved into this house, and my next-door neighbor had a son about my age. And my parents got a divorce about the age of 7, almost right after moving to Florida. And so my mom was a single mom. And my next-door neighbor, who had the son, she was a stay-at-home mom. And so she kind of raised me a little bit, and she would kind of drag me along with her son to church. And so we kind of grew up together, and we did the typical things as young people do. We, you know, got into sports and basketball and football and soccer and all those fun things. But one sport in particular I got into was the sport of surfing. And so as I started to develop as a young person and going to school and surfing on the weekends, I thought, wow, you know, this sport I really am adapting to, and I really like it. It's not a team sport. It's something I can do individually and just surf. And there was a group of athletes. They were surfers as well as skateboarders, and they called themselves Sunriders, S-O-N, Sunriders. I thought, wow, you know, as a young person going up and wanting to serve God, and here's these group of athletes that are serving God, and they're doing what they love. And I thought, wow, if I could only do that, surf for God. Sounds kind of funny, but that's what I wanted to do. And so I started competing, and I started winning contests. And about the age of 14, 15, I started to be sponsored by different companies. They would give me free merchandise if I would just plant a sticker on my board. And I started to eat and live and breathe surfing. And started pushing God aside. Didn't know that, but I started pushing God aside. And a very tragic accident happened in my life. about 16 years old, and I was practicing for an event, and I came off my surfboard wrong. It was actually a control fall, but my foot slipped at the last minute, and I hit the bottom of the ocean, and I broke my C1 vertebrae in my neck. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with your C1, but it's your first vertebrae.
It needs to be there.
It needs to be intact. It doesn't house your spinal cord. It houses your brain stem. So I heard the snap. I saw the white flash, and there was somebody really close to me. A good friend was really close. I said, "Alan, I think I just broke my neck." And he said, "Well, lay on your board, and I'll push you in." I was like, "No, I think I just better walk it." And it was cool that day, and I had a wetsuit on. I had to pull that wetsuit up over my head. And I drove home, and I told my mom. And she's like, "Well, let's just rub some ointment on it. It'll probably feel better in the morning." So the next morning, that night was very, very painful. The next morning, I woke up, and I was in excruciating pain. And I really could not even move. The pain was so great. And so my mom said, "Okay, let's take you down to the little emergency clinic." And so I went down there, and the doctor who first examined me, he said, "Well, turn this way." I turned. He said, "Turn this way. Look up." And I was like, "Oh, I can't look up." He's like, "Well, what's this x-rated? This kid, I'm sure, just sprained his neck, and he's fine." And so they took me off to get an x-rayed, and I got an x-rayed, and then came back into the little waiting room, and I was just sitting there in pain. And after the x-ray, every nurse and every doctor that was in that little clinic came into my room, and their eyes were as big as saucers. And they said, "You broke your C1 vertebrae." And he said, "You are lucky to be alive, let alone walking." They've never seen that type of fracture. And somebody hasn't been instantly quadrupedic or dead. And he says, they've never seen that before. And then this is the doctor that first examined. He spoke up and he said, "You are a very blessed man." He used that word, blessed. He must have been a Christian. But I didn't hear those, because right after that was the only words I heard. He says, "You are never to surf again." And believe me, my mom heard those words too. See, that's all I heard was, "You are never to surf again." So closely was ingrained into me the sport of surfing that I started pushing out others, and definitely pushed out God. And we can do that. Anything we put before God becomes our God. And surfing became my God. And I lost my earpiece. And surfing became my God. And I'll say it again, just in case you missed that. Anything we put before God becomes our God. If you have your Bibles, turn me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And this is a message to the church of Ephesus, which we believe that we are the Laodicean church, but every church, every message has a message for us. So we'll be looking at the church, the message to the church of Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2. Let's just start in verse 4. The Bible reads, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first," what? Love. Verse 5. "Remember therefore," do what? "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place." What does the candlestick represent? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit, can't we? See, the Lord was trying to get my attention. He was trying to slow me down. But I became angry. As a young person, I became angry because that's all I heard was, you are never to surf again. So I said, fine, I'm going to surf for myself now. I thought I wanted to surf for God, but I was surfing for self, but I was going to make it apparent this time. I'm surfing for myself. So right after that, I didn't require surgery or anything like that, praise the Lord. They just required a soft collar because your C1 is so high up, it does not move. So they just put a soft collar on me, and in 12 weeks, they took it off and said, you're fine. So I started surfing unbeknownst to my parents, my mom particularly, and it took me a while to get back up to the level I was, but pretty soon, companies started looking at me again. I started becoming a regular on ESPN and another network called Sunshine Network back in Florida. It's a sports network. Started getting in magazines, full color page ads. I was able to just travel quite a bit. And I was like, yes, I have arrived. I made it. And I can remember very distinctly sitting on a very cold beach in Southern California at one of the largest events, and sitting there and looking around and seeing all the scaffolding and seeing all my peers as well as some idols that I had in the surfing industry. And I was there as well. And I can remember right before the competition, I was about ready to go out in the water. I'm sitting there with my sponsors all over my board, and I'm looking around, and I'm seeing everybody else, and they had an angry face. I'm thinking, why? This is something that we're doing for a living. This is something that we've always wanted to do. Why are we so angry? And I can remember very distinctly saying, I've made it. Why am I not fulfilled? There's one text I want to share with you that I wish I knew back then. You want to know what that text is? It's found in Colossians. Going back from Revelations, you'll pass 1 John, Peter's, Colossians. You'll go past Hebrews. If you get to Philippians, you've gone too far. Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. Who's he speaking of here? Christ. Let's just jump back so we can get the context. Verse 8, beware lest any man you spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments or the elements of the world, and not after Christ. And in verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now this is the text, listen very carefully. This is the text that I wish I knew as a young person. Verse 10, and you are complete in him. You are complete in him. You are not complete in your education. You're not complete in your activity that you might like to do. You're not complete in your talents. You're not complete in your spouse or significant other. Those do not complete you. Was it Tom Cruise that says, you complete me? And that, he's a liar. I'll say it, plain as day. Because you are complete in Christ. And that's the only thing you are complete in. And as a young person sitting on that beach, thinking back to when I started surfing, to when I wanted to surf for the Lord, thinking how happy I was just to be around Christian people and to be serving in the church. And I started to think back. See, I had left my first love. How many of us have left our first love this morning? It's hard-hitting. Are we just sitting in the pews, not on fire like we used to be? Well, the Bible says, repent and remember What got you there in the first place? That was a slow change in my life, started to a slow change in my life. Just working through what I was feeling, why I was unhappy, and just thinking back. And right at that time, the Lord brought a young person into my life as well. You might know her. Her name was Linda Wilson. And we started to study the Bible. See, she was a prodigal daughter. She had left as well. Maybe someday she'll be able to give her testimony. She had left, but we would always study together. And she was just convicting me with these seeds of truth. And I would go over to her father's house, who is a pastor, and he would also teach me about the things of the Bible. And I was like, wow, you know, I start getting blown away. And then when you hear the word, you just can't sit there. This little fire in you ignites. And so I would start praying and studying. And though I was still caught up in worldly things, those things started to be insignificant to me. And right about the age of 24, Linda and I had been dating, and right about that time, the Lord brought somebody else in my life. You might know of him. His name is David Asherick. And he set up this big giant tent close to my house, and he was given in his very first evangelistic series. And if you know a little bit about David, he was a professional skateboarder and a rock climber, and so we had that in common. And so I went to every single meeting in that tent. It was the first ASI meeting, very first one. And I ended up going through every single meeting and ended up being baptized. And right at the same time, the devil would not let me go. He would not let me go. He brought another person to my life. I was working at a surf shop. I used to manage several surf shops and do the inventory and team manage as well. And a representative from a very, very large company came in. And that person said, listen, we want you to be our man. We want you to be our front man. We want you to carry our banner, our sponsor. They wanted to give me everything that I ever wanted in a contract from a sponsor. And I started thinking, you know, what am I supposed to do now? This is something I've waited my whole life for. See, I had other sponsors, but this is one that was going to be a new day for me. See, I waited my whole life for this, but Jesus gave his life. I waited my whole life, but Jesus gave his life. Don't you wish you knew where the devil was going to tempt you? Don't you wish you had some kind of way of knowing which angle he was going to come at? And I think we do. 1 John. It was our scripture verse today. 1 John chapter 2. Starting in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every single time, the devil will get us to fall on those three things. All through the Bible, whenever someone had sinned against the Lord, it encompassed those three things. For time's sakes, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit was good for food, lust of the flesh, when it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and to make one wise, pride of life, she ate of it. Every single time. Those three avenues. So how do we fight? How do we fight those three avenues? Let's make it practical. Because I like sermons that are practical, something tangible that we can take home with us. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Having a good old-fashioned Bible study. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's make it practical. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare, whose warfare is it? Our warfare, very key. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God, through who? Through God, to pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? A force. Surfing was definitely a stronghold in my life. It can be emotional. It can be depression, anxiety. It can be physical things. Feeling good. I just want to do it, just Nike's term, just do it because it makes you feel good. It also can be addictions. So that's anything that's got a grip on you can be a stronghold, whatever it might be. That can be a stronghold. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So whose warfare is it? But whose weapons? Let's find out how God combated. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And you might be familiar with this. It was the man that comes running to Christ because his son had a demon in him. He kept casting himself, throwing himself into the fire. And in verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy upon me and my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes falleth into the fire. Verse 16, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. When Jesus answered and said unto him, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And they brought the man, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. How much should be impossible? Nothing. Now here's the key. Verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. See, we like the prayer part. We like the prayer part. The fasting part hurts. And it doesn't always, a fast doesn't always entitle abstaining from food. I had to fast and pray. For 1 year to break the stronghold of surfing. I didn't surf for one whole year. I had to break it. And a fast can be a media fast, if that's a stronghold that you have on. It can be anything. It can also be food. Why? Because we're showing ourselves as dead to sin. Dead men eat no food. We clasp our hands in prayer because we're saying we're shackled, we're bonded by sin. But Christ is to let us free. They used to lay themselves prostrate and put ashes saying, hey, we're dead, Christ, we're dead. Our warfare using Christ's weapons. Jump back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit, capital S, right? The Holy Spirit, communion with the Spirit, prayer time, you might say, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. To be what? Tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted, interesting. Our warfare, Christ's weapons. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said unto thou, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread. But he answered, being Christ, and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Lust of the flesh. Did you catch it? Make these, you're hungry. The devil's tempting them with the lust of the flesh. You're hungry. Make these stones into bread. You can do it. Christ answers him biblically. Then the devil taketh up him up to the holy city and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down to him, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down to him. Well, yeah, I am the Son of God. I can cast myself off. Pride of life. The third time, what Jesus answered him on verse 7, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the third time, the devil taketh him up unto the exceeding high mountain and did what? Showed him. Lust of the eyes. Those three avenues. And showeth him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give unto thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship. What are we worshiping? Amen. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence forevermore, never again, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and in him only thou shalt serve. Amen. Our warfare, using Christ's weapons. Isaiah, closing text. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And in verse 6. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed, the depressed, the anxiety-ridden go free. And that ye break every stronghold that's in your life, every yoke that's holding you down, you break it. Is that your prayer this morning? That you break everything that might be in your life. This is something tangible. We can take this with us. It's our warfare, but it's Christ's weapons. And Christ used, when he was surrounded with temptation, with fasting and prayer. It's something we can do. And again, it doesn't necessarily have to be food. It can be fasting from whatever. But it's real and it works. And the Lord recognizes it. And it's something that we can do. To loose the bands of wickedness, to break every stronghold in our life. Who's willing to stand with me today and say, Lord, we believe, help thou our unbelief. Are you willing to stand and make a statement today? To say, yes, Lord, we understand we're sinners and we are in need of a Savior. Heavenly Father, again, we come to you and we're grateful that you never tire of hearing our voices. You have showed us something this morning that we can use when we are sorely tempted. We long for the day that you come and you take away pain, sickness, death, anxieties, depressions, addictions. We long for that day. But at this time, may we fight the good fight, recognizing it is our warfare, but recognizing our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through you. We're grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.